Let us pray. Draw us close, Holy Spirit, as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed. Let the word of faith be on our lips and in our hearts, and let all other words slip away. May there be one voice we hear today, the voice of truth and grace. Amen. Today's first scripture lesson is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, utter in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim upon the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jenny Sue. We're going to continue on this morning hearing from the scriptures and the book of Romans. We're beginning a series on Romans that will take us through much of the summer. And our second scripture reading today then comes from Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 11. Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Holy God, we come before you asking that you would help us to remember our baptism, where we put to death all allegiance to sin and rose again in life with you. We ask that you would tune our hearts to your way and that we might tune out all things that distract, all noise and all worry that calls us into other places and not into the allegiance in your way. Lord, we know that you are with us, and so we ask that you would reveal your word to us this morning. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. Amen. All right, friends, remember last week we began this study on the book of Romans. And as we read, we are continuing to be challenged by what it means to find our home in God's reign, amidst all the demands of our allegiance to the empire. It's a difficult proposal to set out in search of a home when there are actually a lot of great comforts and privileges with belonging to the Pax Romana, the peace of Roman Empire. Today's text confronts us directly with this challenge. Is it better to stay put and to enjoy life in the empire? Or are we willing to sacrifice and become a member of a different kind of family, a participant in a voyage home into the heart of Christ? Make sure you hear it from the outset. The journey home into the family of God requires us to relinquish power and privilege that we enjoy, and maybe we even take for granted. In the way of Jesus, we are given grace and liberated to step outside of the systems of the empire and belong to a whole new kind of community of loving welcome. Christ's death for us sets us free. But, and there's always a but, isn't there? We wonder, can we have the best of both worlds? Can we accept this grace and forgiveness and the faithfulness of Christ, but also retain the benefits of living in the way of Rome? Can we have our cake and eat it too? Can we be good Roman Christians or Christian Romans? I'll put it a bit more directly. The question is, will we make a deal with the empire to remain in sin, in the ways of destructive life, because they sure feel good and we enjoy the fruits of their power? Or is our allegiance truly to the reign of God, belonging to another home? As we enter into this study of Romans, one important question that we have to wrestle with is, what kind of leader do we serve? We're led by many different people in the spheres of our life. We have national and state and local political leaders. We have pastoral leaders. We have leaders in our workplace, leaders on the board of the nonprofit that we volunteer for, leaders in our condo association, leaders in our schools. We need leaders, good leaders, who will help us chart a course and take us into the next steps of our journey. Living in the empire, we know that the Roman citizens had a strong leader who they were meant to serve and follow, Caesar. As well, they had military leaders who they honored for their valor in battle. They had religious leaders, priests of the temple of the Roman pantheon of gods. They had Paul and his fellow apostles. Leaders were and are everywhere. Since there are people in leadership all around, and mind you, I didn't say that there are good people in leadership all around, we have to wrestle in ourselves with who we will serve. Who does our allegiance belong to? Many leaders promise to make progress and make the world better through plans and policies. They promise a better life, more prosperity, greater things to come. If we make our pact with them, then the best is yet to come. Truly convincing leaders promise us that by aligning with them, we will get to have access to the good life in that brighter day, which only they can bring about. They will lead us into prosperity so that we can all enjoy the benefits of their reign. Now, unfortunately, in many cases, they will also entice us to follow them into ways of compromise, destruction and greed, and ultimately enslavement to a way of life that supports their interests and their power. And now contrast this with the leadership of Jesus Christ. In Christ, we see a humble servant leader, one who talks about love and care for neighbor and even enemy. The one who in our text today has offered us a way to become slaves of righteousness. There is not a get-ahead philosophy in the leadership of Jesus. Jesus actually leads us in a different direction, towards less, towards sacrifice, toward emptying ourselves of all that would otherwise feel good, but ultimately hurts and destroys. The leadership of Jesus is calling us to give up our privilege, to sacrifice our position, and to find life by being liberated from the need to get ahead and stay on top. Now, while we're working through this study on Romans, we're going to find that the true voyage home is going to cause us some discomfort along the way. Working for and traveling toward the place where we truly belong is going to push us to shed some of the privileges and power of our old ways. And so it is with today's text. Hear it again. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Under the surface here is this question: can we experience the life of Christ, fully receiving the grace and restoration of God, while also retaining the practices of empire? Put in Roman terms, can we claim allegiance to Jesus' way while also paying homage to Caesar as Lord? Can we live in the way of righteousness while also supporting an empire which enslaves and subjugates people as a process of takeover and assimilation? Can we claim to be beloved and belong to Christ while we also enjoy the benefits of sexual bondage in the patronage of rich elites in the city? Or how about this? Let's put it in our modern American terms. Is the way of liberation found in Jesus compatible with the predatory practices of get-ahead capitalism? Or can we just keep up our addictions to pleasure and indulgence because we receive grace for every time we stumble and miss the mark? Can we claim God and country, both with capital letters and interchangeably prioritized, country and God, God and country, Christ and party, flag and spirit? We might not immediately consider these connections to the way of American empire as a sin. And why would we? They're simply a part of what it means to be citizens of our nation state in the modern world, right? Right. And when we take a step back, or when we acknowledge how it was for these first Christians in Rome, we realize that the question is not so much about whether we can be a good member of a society while being a Christian. The question is, to which do we give ultimate authority? Rome wanted nothing less than the full allegiance of one's heart, mind, body, and strength. For that allegiance, the leaders of Rome promised prosperity, security, growth, wealth, and privilege. Now, this seems like a good bargain, right? But what we're seeing here is that if we truly want to come home and journey into Christ, to find our true belonging in the loving arms of God, we're going to have to sacrifice some of those benefits. Let's bring this on home. Let's continue our voyage home together. Following Jesus requires us to let go of so much that the empire wants us to cling to. Our power, our status, our wealth, the deals that we've made to get ahead. We let go of it because we realize that it's mostly hot air, dead space, empty promises that leave us cold and alone in the shadow of Caesar. Rather, in Christ, we are set free from that kind of enslavement to power. We're bound up in another way, bondage to righteousness. That is what it means for us to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Today, we're invited to remember our baptism as a marker of this death and resurrection. In baptism, we are claimed by the promises of God's love and the life of Christ. We enter the waters, or in our tradition, we are sprinkled by the waters at least, and we die. As Christ entered death, so we enter death. We relinquish those allegiances to the ways of destruction, the allegiances to leaders who promise success if we bow before them, the allegiances to Rome over and above Christ. And then we rise from the waters. We rise in new life. We are resurrected as Christ is, new life in us and belonging to the way of God's love and grace. So again, as we hear the opening words of today's text, the question becomes, do you want to keep going back to the way of death so that you can know grace? Absolutely not. Instead, we receive life by turning to Christ and being aligned with him in all that we say and do. In closing, a couple of final words about how this might look for us as followers of Jesus in Bellingham, Washington, in 2020, amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, in an election year, with the rising tide of calls for racial justice. We live in a complex time, amen? Will we continue to participate in racist systems that oppress and hold down Black and brown bodies because so many of us benefit from the power and privilege of those systems? Will we practice the way of life in how we protect all people from the spread of a virus? Will we wear our masks and keep our distance and sacrifice our comfort so that others might live and have a chance to experience the loving kindness of God in the days ahead? Will we renounce fear and live in confidence as people who trust science and deliberate actions that can save lives? And will we ask questions of our leaders and consider who they really are inviting us to serve and call Lord of our lives? Will we challenge ourselves to expect fewer big blue sky promises and expect instead more compassion and sacrifice for the needs of the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner? Will we make decisions for our future as people expectant of big promises, or rather as people expectant of the promise of shalom, peace, well-being found in the way of righteousness? The question is, will we follow a leader who dies so that we and all people who call upon Christ's name might know the liberating way of life? Will we follow this dying leader into life? Friends, you know the answers. You have been called by God, awakened to hear Christ's voice. You have met the presence of the Spirit in your daily life. So let's set aside all the other stuff, all the noise. Let us no longer be enslaved to sin, but rather let us rise in the resurrection life of Christ, the baptized life, the life of allegiance to God's good reign on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. O God, to you be all glory, honor, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, may you turn our hearts back to you, our allegiances to you, that we might be put to death to all that sin that binds us up, and that we might be risen like you in new life, resurrected in your forgiving, grace-filled way. God, you are good, and we praise you for this new life that you are bubbling up in us. Set us on this journey together, Lord, that we might walk it as one people in your name. Amen.